Minnesota Reads is a new program on KUMD featuring the work of Minnesota writers, and we're thrilled to have author Kathleen Jesmay join us this morning. She got up early because she's out on the West Coast, and she got up early to join us on the phone this morning. Hi, Kathleen.
Good morning.
Thanks so much for getting up a little bit early to join us. Your new collection of poems will be published next month. It's called Albedo. Tell us what the name means.
Well, albedo is a scientific term, and it has to do with how light from the sun is absorbed. And it's absorbed, as you know, when you're outside in the summer in a dark outfit, it's absorbed more, and you get hotter than when you're wearing white. And so, of course, that has a huge impact on our planet. And that's one of the aspects of albedo that I was working with in this book. And then there's another a little bit more arcane notion, and that is the alchemical notion of the spiritual path. And there are three ways of the spiritual path: the negredo, which is the blackness, the darkness; the albedo, which is the silvering or the lightening; and then finally the quote enlightenment path, which is the rubedo, which is the reddening, and that's gold. So I'm kind of playing with putting some of those things together with the title of the book and with the book itself.
The poetry deals a lot with light, and it also deals a lot with winter and with white and that whole concept. I'd like you to read a section out of a poem called The Mythology We Have Now. And would you read a little bit of that for me?
Sure. This is a long poem, and it's in sections, and the sections don't have titles, but this one begins with the question, did we measure time? Yes, up and down, and for longer than each earlier day, stitching together this bind of love. You said it would last, as smoke does, as water, as the ground descended through. Can't get the curtains pushed back far enough. They close. And outside, the tree edges closer every year, every day, every hour. Even in winter, the tree approaches the house, the window, the curtains, the one who looks. See how dark curls itself around the lamp? Intimate-like, as if they had long been friends. Another section?
Yes.
A little bit shorter.
Just one more. This is such a wonderful poem, and we'll try to get a link set up so that folks can look for this book themselves. The poem is gorgeous. Go ahead.
The window goes on looking like it's empty. I save it in small squares, diminishing condensery under the hand, bare pane of glass, and the light that bevels it.
This is, I've asked you to read some sections from a longer poem called The Mythology We Have Now. Kathleen, when did you start writing poetry?
Probably in first grade. Yeah, I think my mother, when my mother died, I found some in her, all of her things she kept, I found some poems that I had written in first grade.
So did you continue to write poetry all along, or was it something that you set aside and came back to?
Actually, I wrote poetry, well, I always did a little bit, but I wrote poetry pretty steadily into my 20s, and then I got busy and, you know, did my life. And then in my early 40s, I decided to become way more serious about poetry. And so I've been seriously writing poetry since then.
What prompted that decision to get serious about poetry?
I think a point comes in people's lives when the busyness of the world kind of begins to fade, and you begin to think about what is most important to me. And my creative inner life is what's most important to me. So I decided I should really, really focus on that, and that's what I've done.
As with many works of poetry, the poetry is not just the words, but it's the way that they appear on the page. And in that sense, I love the way poetry is an art, as literature is an art, but it's also almost an art form in the sense of a visual art. For example, yes. If we look at the mythology we have now and that first section that you wrote, there are places where there are extra spaces between the words.
Mm-hmm.
As you write the poem, do you put those spaces there, or do they come later as you read them back and there needs and what function do those spaces serve?
Well, I don't know if you noticed, but there's not much other punctuation, not too much in the way of commas and periods in that section. And basically, to me, when I write poetry, I am hearing it. It's music to me. And so the rhythms I hear as I'm writing, I want to also show visually on the page so that when other people read it, they can hear the music that I heard when I wrote it. So some of those spaces are simply, they're either a space in terms of I want you to pause as you're reading it in terms of the rhythm, or they might also serve as conceptual spacing where I'm going to all of a sudden turn this thing on, kind of like on a hinge. I'm going to open this door a little bit, and it's going to look different. The scene will be different. And so sometimes I use a space so that when you get to that next thing, you've made this little leap, and you're almost literally leaping with me with the conceptual move.
Do you think it is unique to you, or unique that you want the reader to understand that you're really trying deliberately to communicate directly instead of obliquely with your reader?
Well, no, I don't think it's unique to me. I think all writers and all poets want to communicate with their audience. But if you only wanted to communicate facts, you would write a newspaper article. And if you only wanted to communicate a story, you would write a short story or a novel. And if you only wanted to communicate an idea, you would write an essay. But poetry allows you to pull back and kind of, it's almost a meta art in that because of the nature of metaphor, the ability to make things stand for other things, you can mean 10 things with a poem that might only mean one thing in an essay. So you want people to understand it on as many levels as they can. In fact, you yourself want to understand it on as many levels as you can, because when you write a poem, you can't possibly understand all the ways it might resonate. You know, when you first write it, you don't realize how it might resonate. But as you work with it, you know, you begin to feel all those different resonances. And then you want other people to get that experience as well.
And yet there are so many poets whose work is so obscure, so difficult, and so on first reading and sometimes on second reading, meaningless. It's almost as though if you don't have the key, you know, or the secret code, yeah, or the insider information, you're just not going to get, it's not accessible to readers.
Well, that's two different ideas. One is accessible and the other is difficult. Some great poems are difficult. You know, T.S. Eliot's poetry was not easy to read, and it's still great poetry, but it's difficult. It's difficult to figure out. But then there's another issue of, but it's worth it if you do the work to read. Even Emily Dickinson, some of her poems are almost completely inscrutable, and you sit there and you say, what? Where did she go? But if you sit there with it long enough, you begin to get those resonances and you begin to feel, oh, she is giving me space here, you know? I'm getting some psychic space from this poem. But there are, unfortunately, also many people who are writing poems that just, I don't care how many times you read them, they're not going to mean very much. It's hard to to distinguish between those two, between a difficult poem and just an inaccessible poem. It's really hard. And, you know, I think with many of them, only time will tell which ones are going to survive and be meaningful and which ones will just go the way of, you know, last fall's leaves.
Kathleen, the last poem I'd like you to read is called My Father Calling Us to Come Up, and it's very accessible to those of us, of course, as Minnesotans, and it also is going to have so many different resonances depending on your experience, but it's a touchstone that is a part of many people's lives. Would you read that for us, please?
Sure. This one actually has a title, My Father Calling Us to Come Up. Out of the water. As the storm closes, we ignore him. There is something frying in the air that excites us. He grabs a stick, a branch really, flying down the river bank, yelling, get out of the water! And we do. Run, laughing up the hill as fast as we can. Later, he likes to tell how we scattered like thistle down. Another waking up. The emptiness out there on the water makes things seem farther away than they are.
Minnesota poet Kathleen Jesmay from her collection of poems called Albedo. Kathleen, thank you so very much for joining us this morning.
Thank you very much. I enjoyed it.
Kathleen Jesmay is a Minnesota poet. Her collection of poems, Albedo, will be published in March. She's the author of four previous collections. Minnesota Reads is produced at KUMD with funding provided in part by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.